One day, some of the kids from the neighborhood carried my mother's groceries all the way home. You know why? It was out of respect.
This is Dirt and Spray.
Most important thing in business is honesty, integrity, hard work, family. Never forgetting where we came from. See, you are what you are in this world. That's either one or two things. Either you're somebody or you're nobody.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
A month from now, this Hollywood big shot's gonna give you what you want.
Too late, they start shooting in a week.
I'm gonna make him an offer again with you.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Me, I always tell a truth, even when I lie. So say goodnight to the bad guy. Come on, last time you're gonna see a bad guy like this again.
The Fan.
Let's do this final hour. Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube as we are every single morning.
Magic Johnson.
Got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. Big PP picks coming up here in a few minutes. I was horrible last week. We'll see if we can bounce back. Yogi Roth coming up at 8:30. We got a Thursday night game. Does anybody care about that game? Will we be watching that game at all? We're all out trick-or-treating with the little ones. It's football, I know.
Yeah.
Are you going to watch that game?
I'll turn it on, and then I'll probably leave and go trick-or-treating and come back. And be like, oh, my God, the Texans are losing by 10. What's happening?
Yeah, I don't know how much I'm going to catch. I don't know how long we're going to be home. I might try and pull it up on my phone. I'm not going out of my way to watch the Jets play football again this year.
Yeah, there's a little bit of like—
I don't care.
I'm so tired of them being—
I'm not
going to
talk about them tomorrow.
Throat.
I don't want to watch the Jets. I don't care about the Jets. Cayenne pepper and water is now the storyline this week for the Jets. Nobody cares. Nobody cares.
Cayenne pepper?
That's what Aaron Rodgers said. Fountain of youth. He's mixing cayenne pepper and water.
It was actually pretty funny to watch Orlovsky guzzle it on NFL Live yesterday.
He tried on NFL Live? Did he give him the fountain of youth?
Well, and he guzzling a beer. It was a little much for him.
Orlovsky chugging something Rodgers says to do?
Yes.
Shocking.
Shocked by that.
Well, when
you
it
can't
comes to food, though, Orlovsky is notorious for having the most bland palate.
It's fake. I at this point, I'm going to call it out. I think that whole shtick is fake.
I eat
chicken with no seasoning at all. No, you don't.
Yeah.
Hey, you're a human.
Faking his food takes?
Yeah, I think it's a way to like generate.
I had a friend who used to do that, who would cook chicken
reaction.
Just with nothing on it.
Yeah.
Every time it was
sound like an
smelled
awful person.
Disgusting.
It tastes disgusting.
Yeah, not good. So this was a funny text, the Vancouver Ford text line. In fourth and fifth grade football, we had a dad go to another team's practice to see if a rumor that their starting quarterback was injured was true. The dad didn't see him. We all got excited thinking he wasn't going to play the game. Yeah. And then on game day, he showed up and he torched us like Michael Vick.
Lamar sitting
got a bad scouting report on that one, man. Bad scouting report. Another one, guys, think of the NASA mission control. Everyone in the room can talk to each other.
Yeah.
But only one talks to the crew to limit confusion. The best part is a $10 pair of walkie-talkies has encryption. You just have to use it. The manufacturer's probably pulling their hair out right now saying, if any of you paid attention when we went over this, none of this would be an issue.
I'd just be interested to hear the audio of it, and I know they'll never release it, and Lanning probably doesn't talk about it. All I'm saying is, and you're probably right, maybe it's just Stein and Gabriel, and that's it. Here's the play, boom. I also wouldn't be shocked if Dan Lanning was in that thing, like, we're going for this. Just letting them both know and then getting out and letting Stein call play.
Yeah, in certain moments like that, a fourth down call or something.
It's all you guys.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, it's got to be quick and
it's
efficient.
It's limited, yes.
You have to get in, get out.
15 seconds, right, is when the communication
is cut off.
Yeah,
it cuts off at 15 seconds. It would be fun. Oregon does those sometimes in their recap. They don't ever do the helmet communications. But they'll do the coach converse, like things that the coaches are saying to each other prior to a play, or hey, look out for this, or let's try this, or put this guy in. And it's fun to kind of get that behind the scenes. What do you guys think about when you're in the shower?
Oh, man. It's a doozy in the shower. I can think of all kinds of things. I can think nasty things. I could be thinking about work and like, hey, what do we do on the show tomorrow? What's something that I care a lot about? I don't do that per se. It's a communal situation. I'm not putting other people in that spot. I can go through a lot of different things. What am I going to make for dinner the next day? I go through a lot of different thoughts in the shower.
I'm 6'6".
Swag, what do you think about when you're in the shower?
Well, it's usually, because I usually, if I go for a run or walk or something, it's in the middle of the afternoon. So I'm usually showering and then preparing for, thinking about like dinner. What do I have to do?
Oh, you're an early shower guy.
Early shower guy.
So yeah,
I sit in my stink till the night.
Yeah, I'm a nighttime shower guy.
No.
I really want to shower as close to bedtime as I possibly can.
Love that feeling. Clean in the sheets. Oh, it's great.
I'll go sweat it out after the show, get a good workout in. I'll just naturally dry off, and then I'll just sit in that.
Just stinky all day.
Yep.
Well, Kirk Ferentz is a unique individual. We all know that. He thinks about certain things in the shower, and, well, nobody's surprised.
Reese, you know, it's kind of funny. I was thinking about that in the shower this morning. I don't know why. I think of weird things in the shower all the time. But I was thinking about, you know, what he was doing and some other options we might have had as a punter. And you never know. You know, you just never know. And then now you're talking about Australia, which has been good to us, but it doesn't mean every guy that punts that grew up in Australia is going to be, you know, pay off. I think the thing I've been most impressed with him is just his maturity.
Thinks about his punters in the shower, recruiting punters, finding punters. How do we punt? He thinks about punters in the shower.
Punts.
That's the most Kirk Ferentz story of all time.
Yes.
That sums up
that
Iowa
sums
football.
Up Iowa. Does it not sum up Iowa football?
You could have guessed that as soon as I asked it. Hey, who's the coach that thinks about punting in the shower?
No, you would take 2 seconds to guess that. They are the Big Ten NBC Game of the Week. They host Wisconsin this weekend.
Woof.
Yeah, that's Wolf is right. It'll be ugly and low score. Wisconsin struggles to score points, and Iowa struggles to score points. And, you know, that.
What's the weirdest thing you've thought about in the shower?
It's hard to say off the top of my head. I'm sure I've had some weird thoughts pop into my head at time to time in the shower.
I was debating with myself the other day in the shower if I really believed that humans made the pyramids.
Mm.
I went on both sides of that.
It was a shower thought, huh?
I don't know how.
Yeah, it just popped in.
I was kind of in there as, you know, washing the hair,
right on the butt.
Putting the soap on the butt, and I was just like, you know what?
No way we did that.
There's no chance humans did this.
No chance we did
that. But also, why would aliens only build three of these things and then leave?
Markers to know where they're flying around. They want to see
the
little...
They just want to keep going to Egypt?
Just want to keep... Maybe they like Egypt. They're big fans over there.
Was there a central hub of Egypt for them that mattered a great deal in the
Somebody did a thing where they asked AI to make a video of how the pyramids were made.
It was terrifying.
And it was like 400-foot-tall aliens that were walking around.
Mega beast human-like creatures building these structures.
Thanks for that picture. If you were an Iowa fan, would you be okay with, like... Are you just, this is you every year, you're cool with it? Would you ever call for a change? Like, Kirk Ferentz, when was Kirk Ferentz hired at Iowa? How long has
like
he been
1985?
There now?
1985?
It's been a long time.
He's the longest tenure.
Oh, it's
I
not
believe.
Even close right
no,
now.
Realistically, I think it was like 1990.
Let's see. No, it legitimately has been over 30 years, or almost 30 years. Let me see. His first year at Iowa, holy hell, his first year at Iowa was 1999, so not quite, 25 years. He was at Maine for 3 years. I don't know where he went after that, and then he took over as head coach at Iowa in 1999.
Would I be happy with this?
Like, are you just cool with your coach joking about punters and, you know, rubbing his nipples to punters in the shower and okay winning games 10-7?
I mean, you can make an argument they should be playing Wisconsin-like football, which is what I think they try to do, but they don't do it as well. He's given them some fun years.
I mean, they've been to Rose Bowls. They won bowl games. Like,
but the first play of that Rose Bowl, McCaffrey went 70 yards and they got blown out. I'd be torn on it, to be honest with you, because I know he's good enough to have us somewhat relevant in the ranking conversation, but largely we will never beat a good team.
You're going to be between 7 and 10 wins every year with an incompetent offense.
Yep.
A dominant offensive line,
yep,
and a good defense.
And I'll always know my punter's name.
And you'll always know the punter's name, and you'll probably have a good running back. That's Iowa football every year.
Hey, tight end you there for a while.
Tight end you as well, very true.
Know, that's...
Have some great tight ends over
the
years.
But, like, they're almost a worse version of Penn State. Like, Penn State, we largely say they're sitting in this purgatory of, like, they're really good, but they've never been truly great in this run with Franklin. But
yeah,
they
can't get over the hump.
Yeah, but they beat all the other teams.
Yeah.
Iowa's in that next version of that. They beat the bottom feeders, but they can't quite get past the Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan thing. And so, like, they're in that third-ish tier all by themselves.
It takes a special person that can argue both sides of a take to themselves.
Oh, yes. Dude, you should see me in car rides home. I debate whether I was wrong or right on topics we do on the show every day. I pretend I'm a listener, and I'm like, what a dumb take that
was.
What
a horrible take. That guy thought Dan Lanning's making jokes in Dylan Gabriel's headset as the play clock's running down.
I was trying to more have fun with that. You seemed like you were getting upset by my thought.
How dare
that.
You question Dan Lanning and his helmet communications? How dare you?
Man, Lanning tells a dad joke once in a while in a helmet just to calm everything down.
I'm pretty sure. I think Isaac and Suk asked him about that early in the season. I don't know if they've checked. They don't have him this week because they're traveling today. But I think they asked him about him at the start of the year, and he was like, yeah, we're really trying to figure that out because there's such a – and they tried to hammer it down in like fall camp where you're you do it every day in practice, of how much time do you have and the communication and all that. And he said it was very complicated. It probably took them a couple of weeks, I would imagine, to find their groove. Hmm. They need to ask him about that next week. We'll have to send them a note. Ask him, does he say anything in Dylan Gabriel's helmet at all during the game, or is it all Will Stein at this point?
I just, as, such an answer on that. As a head coach, in certain moments, I find it hard that he wouldn't chime in for a split second. We also know college offensive plays are not NFL ones.
Yeah.
It's not Z right.
No, not as complicated a call, for
sure. It's a quicker call. So I just wonder if there is that 4 or 5 second, hey, this is what we're thinking. Yeah, I agree. All right, call. And then when they call the play.
You think Trent Bray is getting in Javonte McCoy's headset and saying, hey, don't throw a pick here?
I think Trent, yeah, well. I think Trent Bray.
Let's get a first down here.
Let's do something.
Forward progress.
You just took the pop out of the Pop-Tart. Did you need to do that today?
I had a fan tell me yesterday.
All over the Blazers. Yeah. You're crapping all over Oregon State on a bye week. What else do you want? You want to just cook, burn
my
edges?
Your team is number one in the country.
I know, and you're coming in here hot and bitter.
Just enjoy that.
I had people tell me yesterday that I need to be meaner to Oregon State. I'm not mean enough to Oregon State.
You had people say that to you?
Yeah, that's what people told me yesterday.
You know what it is, Swag? It's the jacket.
I'm negative on the Blazers. Why am I not negative on the Blazers the way, and that negative on Oregon State?
Because you don't root for Oregon State.
That's what my response. I'm not a fan of Oregon State, so I'm an outsider looking in. I don't have the passion that comes with being ultimately negative the way I do with my Blazer fandom.
I think you wearing that jacket's making you run hot and it's pissing you off.
Yeah. Although I've just been up since 3 a.m., so I'm a little grumpy today.
My parents...
That's why.
It's funny, though, because my parents' generation, both my mom and dad, they hate Oregon. Like, will not root for them in any way, shape, or form, in any fashion. My generation's a little...
They were both there.
Yeah.
For your generation.
I think we root for the Beavs, but my parents' generation...
It's not life and death.
They can't stand Oregon. It's funny.
Yeah, our generation being at a certain age, like both programs, it seemed like traded places being good. So it was just like, and having no family tie into a university
No connection at a young age. Let's get to our big PP picks. We'll see how we feel. There are only two games this week to pick. We'll let you know how everybody did last week. Pick the two games going on in the big, both of them in the Big Ten this weekend. Yogi Roth coming up bottom of the hour. Back after this on the Fam. That Mad Dog Russo or Jason Swigard? Seems like the way Swag. How do you handle Halloween? Because you're not a Halloween guy at all. You got trick or treaters tonight?
Not traditionally at the condo, there hasn't been, but I'm actually going to my mom's. My mom gets into Halloween, so it's all set up.
Yeah.
So I will go and hang out.
You gonna help hand out candy? Are you gonna do any of that? Or are you just kind of sit
and
hang?
No, I'm just in there watching. I don't know. I'm probably watching the Kraken game or something tonight. And so I'm not even at my house, and they can do it. And
Yeah. We got the full-size candy bars at the Sprague House.
Full candy bar. We're going to drive over there. I'm going to get a Teddy Ballgame.
What are you offering out to the kiddies?
We bought one of those Costco box packs, you know, like I didn't dictate. I think
Twix, Kit Kats, Snickers. What are we doing?
A Milky Way, a peanut M&M, a regular M&M. And I either bought that box twice or I bought another box with a Reese's peanut butter cup in it. So I'm not entirely confident there.
How many do you think you'll have left over? You going to go through all of it?
I let the girls each have one yesterday because they said they're going to get a lot of candy today. I said, okay, you can have one today, but this is it. You're getting one from the boxes.
That's all you get.
So I can have more for the other kids. I think it'll be gone.
Yeah, you think it'll go through?
Yeah. I mean, there's only 60 in the box.
That's true. Yeah, there's not that big a box.
No.
Let's see how we did last week on our big peep peep picks. Ready? I took Washington. I took Illinois. I took Oregon State. And I took Washington State. You're checking it home. That's an 0-4 week off of a 3-0 week. You guys went 2-2.
Yeah.
Sprague, you hit on Indiana against Washington. They did cover. And you hit on Cal. Those were your two wins. You lost on Illinois and Washington State.
Yeah.
Swag, you took the Huskies as well, so you whiffed on that one. But you were the only one that took Oregon to cover the number, and they did. And you also took Cal. So you guys went 2-2. We all three took Washington State. They did not cover. They did win, but they did not cover late against San Diego State. So season standings after my 0-4, you two have leapt into first place at 17-13.
How about that?
And my 0-4 leaves me 16-14. We got a narrow race right now.
All right.
And our big PP picks.
I'd gladly go 0 for whatever that is, 30, to be 17-13 in Sprague line.
It'd be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Feel really good to be above 500.
Yeah.
We only got two games to pick this week, folks. Only two games. Oregon State's on a bye. Washington State's on a bye. So we will start 12:30 on CBS right here on 1080 The Fan. The Oregon Ducks are on the road in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Wow.
Taking on the defending national champs. The line right now at Aylin A, 14.5. Oregon minus 14.5.
Yeah, I'm not. This is a no-brainer for me. I just... How does Michigan score more than 17 points on that Duck defense, knowing Michigan can only really run? I think you're going to get some orgy in this game for Michigan.
Ooh, I like an orgy.
But, like, Lanning and LaPoy should look at each other and go, we know what they're doing. I just don't see it with the offense. I know Michigan's got some dudes on defense that are in this draft conversation. We talked with Matt Miller about that. This is, as I've noted all week, this isn't just a football game to continue your dream season of being undefeated at number one. This is a recruiting battle. Michigan is funded. Michigan is backed. Michigan has been traditionally recruiting well. I don't know if Sherrone Moore will keep it up, but Lanning is going to act like they will. So this is both a opportunity for a Big Ten win, stay number one, and to show everybody we're the better program to commit to. I will take Oregon, minus the 14.5.
Okay, Swag?
For Oregon, this is all about winning on first down on both sides of the ball. If they win on first down offensively, then they can keep Michigan guessing a little bit, maybe slow down the pass rush with RPOs, and, you know, they have to guess a little bit and figure it out post-snap before they just tee off. And defensively, if they hold them to no more than 2 yards on first down and try to put them in clear passing third down situations, they'll tee off. So I will lay the 14.5 points. Again, like Sprague said, I don't know how Michigan, unless Oregon gives them some short fields. And that's the only thing. The only thing you can say about Dylan Gabriel is he has, like Mahomes had this year, just the one weird pick where you're like, what did you see? What were you trying to do? That doesn't make any sense.
Or you airmail a guy, did that against
Purdue.
Something
like that. Yeah. But aside from that or putting it on the deck, I don't know how Michigan goes the length of the field and keeps up with the Ducks.
Yeah, the only thing that's weird to me about this game is this is kind of a funky line for me. Like, if you would ask me last week, hey, Oregon's going to beat Illinois by 30. Illinois, by the way, beat Michigan. Michigan's going to struggle at home against Michigan State. What's the line in the Oregon-Michigan game going to be? I would have told you at least 17.5, probably. At least.
Really?
Yeah.
I was surprised Illinois was what it was, but I took Illinois because of the same
and
thought.
I get that it's on the road, and, you know, maybe you're giving the points for home field advantage in Ann Arbor. I just 14.5. Like, Michigan's not a very good football. It's just a funky line. That's the only thing that scares me. Metric and number says that Oregon's going to win
this
game.
I'm over the environment stuff. I'm over the time zone. And
well, here's the only thing I'll say on that is that
the last 2 weeks have convinced me that's not an issue.
The only thing I'll say on that is that this is outside of maybe early Oregon State in the Civil War in the first quarter, but that game got out of hand relatively quickly. Oregon and Purdue, I guess, to that nature as well. They did sell that game out, but it was 14-0 right out of the
is
gate.
Is this really going to be a hostile environment?
I mean, it's
they'll
still
be loud.
There'll be 100. I mean, it's the number one team in the country coming to town. Michigan's a defending national
champs. Wisconsin will be a much more hostile environment in 2 weeks.
Interesting.
Why do you think that?
You think Michigan fans are going to show up for this game?
This is number one Oregon coming to your building where they embarrassed
you last that.
Time.
But I don't think Michigan fan has the venom that other places do.
They brought it last week against them. I mean, that was a rivalry game.
They wanted to fire Harbaugh.
Yeah. That's the only thing that I'll say is that Oregon has not been challenged in a lot of tough road environments. They've had early road environments, and then they shut the crowd up. That might happen this weekend, whether it's 14-0 into the first quarter and everybody's gone.
Did they score against Illinois? It was
35-3 at half, and then
38. Okay.
Yeah.
I know Illinois beat Michigan, but one team beating another, playing another, that's not, you know, one plus one, right?
Yeah.
What I would say here on that line, 30-14 with 3 minutes to go, this is over. Michigan with Orgy and Warren Davis.
Yeah.
Davis Warren, whatever the hell his name is, late field goal, 30-17.
Yeah.
Wouldn't shock
me at all, no.
That Michigan defense has some dudes. If Will Johnson plays, so 30 on that Michigan defense is still a good day offensively, even if people are going to bitch and moan along the way. 30-17 with a backdoor field goal. That's kind of the thinking, I guess, with the spread stuff.
Yep.
I don't care about the number. I took Illinois. They were close. They couldn't quite do it. I'll take Oregon. I think Oregon is the better team. And again, I think if he can win this 45-7, he wants to.
Yeah, I think he wants to send a message. I'll take Oregon, too. Just interesting, funky line. I don't disagree with your logic there. I'll take Oregon. So all three of us are on Oregon. That means Michigan will probably cover. The only other game that we're picking is a 4:30 game on the Big Ten Network, Catch the Fever.
Yeah.
It is Lincoln Riley, who, by the way, this week shut down media access to practice for the rest of the year. Because, you know, got to hammer down on the details. Can't be letting those spies and scouts in to watch his team practice.
He is a baby.
He's such a bitch. He is such a bitch.
Yeah, he is.
USC is on the road at Washington, 4:30 Big Ten Network. This line right now, 2.5. USC favored on the road by 2.5.
Yeah, I'm taking UW. UW at home. They're bitter. They could have had it. They had a chance in that Indiana game. They kept shooting themselves in the foot. UW at home is a different team. The rush defense for both these teams is interesting. USC is back into the bottom, the middle bottom in the conference. So I think Coleman's going to have a good day. I'm sure they'll put in the other quarterback, the young kid, in for Rodgers a little more here. But I'm getting the Huskies at home, and I'm getting USC on the road. I'll take a home dog.
Okay, Swag.
This is a weird one. You just...
Who do you trust more?
It's not about trust.
It's not about trust.
It's about gut feel.
Who's going to be... Yeah, I just... I think I'll go with the home team. I don't know. It's going to be. I know it's not going to be warm. I don't know if it's going to be wet.
And well, if it's wet and rainy.
It's wet and rainy, that's right up you.
What are they going to spray their players with a hose again, like they're going to Notre Dame?
Exactly. 50 degrees and rain.
Underrated part of this game is the red zone area. Now, I know that's an obvious thing to say. USC gets in the red zone. They're one of the most efficient teams.
Washington cannot score in the red zone.
And Washington struggles in the red zone. So sometimes it's those kinds of things that solve this. I'm going with gut.
I'm going to go with gut too, and also spite. I spent all last week talking about how I thought Washington was going to go on the road and upset Indiana. And this is where the undefeated season comes to an end. Early in that game, I was watching it down on my iPad in Eugene and thinking, hey, they got a chance today. They got a fourth down stop. Look at this. And then they throw a pick six and then he throws another pick and then you end up losing the game by multiple scores. Mostly out of spite. I'm going to take USC in this game. I also think the quarterback stuff is, I mean, it's just weird. Like, you've had people all week calling for a quarterback change. You're playing the backup. Coach has to come out and say, no, he's a future, but not right now. Rodgers gives us the best chance to win. To me, that's a little convoluted. Both these teams are not trustworthy. I think USC can win the game by a field goal. I'll take the Trojans -2.5. There you go. Our big PP picks that are just big this week. No Pac-12 picks because Oregon State and Washington State are both on byes. They are back in action next week, and we'll be picking all four games. Let's talk to Yogi Roth about that game, Oregon State, where they're at. Oregon on the road at Michigan. He's calling a UCLA game this weekend. Yogi Roth of the Big Ten Network, our good friend, joins us next. All right, welcome back in. College football season in full swing. It is almost done. I cannot believe it. 4 weeks to go in the regular season.
Why are you saying that, man? Why are you bringing that up?
It's almost over. It comes and goes in a flash every year. Yeah. Joining us now, one of our favorites, Yogi Roth. What does this guy not do? He's got a book, 5-star quarterback.
Yep.
He's on the Big Ten Network. He's part of the Elite 11. He's calling games. Yep. He's got a podcast, the Y Option Podcast, which, by the way, John Mateer is going to be on the next episode.
He coached college football. Coach,
I mean, the guy does everything. And we
incredibly good looking.
He is. Yeah, good looking dude.
Come on.
He checks every box. Yogi Roth joining us now. Yogi, good morning to you. It sounds like you had a Halloween thing at the kids' school. Did Yogi Roth dress up this morning for Halloween?
You know, I'm an absolute disappointment today, and I'll say that, and I got to bounce back, okay? We did not start fast. We're going to finish strong. Every year, my wife is a rock star. She designs costumes pretty much from scratch. We have thrived, and we have brought it every year. And this year, with a Thursday and my trip to Nebraska pending in about an hour, I could not get dressed up, and I am currently on the way to the airport. But I did my best. I gave it everything I had. Probably wasn't good enough, but you know, that's why we got to come back again.
You go back, you check the film, you go over it, right? We'll analyze it, fix our mistakes next year.
Go to the doctor. That's right.
Yogi, when we found out we had to push you back a segment for it, we brought up, like, if Yogi Roth is going to a class Halloween party and he is dressing up, what do we see Yogi Roth as? I said, incredibly good looking, great hair. I think Yogi Roth is a little bit of a vampire. I think he's a good-looking vampire. Now, my co-host said Power Ranger, and our producer says Harry Potter-ish thing. What is the most likely Yogi Roth costume?
Well, if it was today, I might have easily, because I whether it's right or wrong, I get mistaken often for Sean McVay in these random airports. So yeah. I might have like just put on like a Rams hoodie. Okay. You know, I let the beard go until game day.
Yeah.
So I got a nice little scruff going right now. So I'd probably go down that road. But that would not fly in our family. Like, our oldest son is a Japanese anime character. Our youngest little guy is a dinosaur. We usually are fully painted out. It is always something that the collective does as a unit. So I probably wouldn't even have a choice. I'd just do whatever Amy says, and I'd smile and thrive in that regard while trying to. Yeah, the only goal today, I told him today, the only goal is to give your candy away.
That's right.
Somebody else smile.
Yep.
That's a great point. Well, my co-host is dressed up like a Pop-Tart, so we all do things for the people we love in our lives. This is how we operate on Halloween. Let's get to the football this weekend, Yogi. Oregon on the road at Michigan. I'll just start with that game. You were just talking about it. We picked it in our last segment. 14.5, I think, is the line. Michigan's still good defensively, but just really struggling offensively. What do you make of where the Ducks are at and a tough environment that they're going to in Ann Arbor this weekend?
Yeah, it'll be their second toughest test to date. In my opinion, a couple reasons why. Number one, you reference the environment. Number two, they're the number one team in America. They're going to get everybody's best. But really, when it comes down to the game and once the emotion settles in, they're going to get the best version of Michigan this season. And I was at Michigan in training camp, and I came out of there saying, Alex Orji's got to be the quarterback. He's the second-best athlete by every metric within the weight room and the offseason program. How do you not play this guy? Well, they didn't play him. They didn't play him for a long time. And now I think they finally have a role with Davis Warren as the quarterback. Alex Orji as, a hybrid package player that I think is only going to expand under their offensive coordinator, Kirk Campbell, who I played with his older brothers. I know that mentality of Kirk Campbell, I think, pretty well. And he's going to try to scheme guys up in a bunch of different ways. And they've done that. You go back and watch their last game, and it was a reverse pass. It was a reverse with a wide out lined up at quarterback and the Wildcat. Like, they're going to try to do a bunch of different things. It's kind of force Oregon just to see if that speed and aggressiveness can maybe get them to miss a gap. Challenge is that Oregon doesn't. To me, they're the most improved team in America. I called their opener against Idaho.
Yeah.
Potential CFP team in Boise State, and I have been hopeful in that running back coming out of Boise State. And ultimately, I think every week we just watch them get better. And I think this is a program that reflects those DNA traits that Dan Lanning often references, which are connection, growth, toughness, and sacrifice. And this is going to be one of those games where I think they're going to grow a bunch. I think it'll be a really competitive first half. I think what will happen is that Oregon will just lean on Michigan. And if Michigan gets down two scores, which can easily happen, I don't think they're built offensively, regardless of quarterback, to come back in this game with firepower. The receivers, I think, are good, not special. I don't think Oregon's going to be able to play a bunch of man coverage because of the quarterback run game with Orji. But I just think overall it's going to be too consistent for too long of a period for Michigan to hang. I think Oregon wins. I think they pull away late in a really physical, competitive game. But again, prove that they can withstand the gauntlet that is not only the Big Ten, but will be the playoff. They're going to have to win three straight if they end up winning the Big Ten, or four straight if they stumble and don't win that title. So I think they're built for it. And if they don't turn it over, I think they get the win on Saturday.
You've been calling the Big Ten games all year. You've found a nice home at the Big Ten Network. And I know you miss the Pac-12 stuff, but now in this new world, you're traveling to Indiana. You're going to Nebraska this week. What has Yogi Roth learned about the Big Ten in calling the games and being around the programs?
Well, I always prided myself on the best coffee shop and yoga studio in every Pac-12 footprint. So I've learned where those are. I know where I'm going in Lincoln when I touch down and where I'm getting a latte in the morning. So I've learned that. I think on the football front, I think there's a few things. One is that it is just a bigger demo. I kind of hated to admit that in training camp when I started to feel it as I'd go around. But you just do. Right? I don't think, Oregon – maybe the number one team in the Pac-12 this past year, right? And I think SC and Washington, you said, would be the same. I think SC losing to Minnesota is like losing to Cal. I don't think there's like this dramatic difference in talent from a year ago, at least in the Pac-12, to where the Big Ten sits this year. I don't feel that. I do feel the venues. The venues are awesome, man. Like, I'm going to Lincoln. It's the 402nd straight sellout. They haven't been to a bowl game since 2016. I mean, think of that. It has been really impressive. Going to Indiana last weekend, standing room only, calling that game. It's just been, that part's been new and really enjoyable, going to different venues. I think just as a fan of football, my biggest question coming in was, how would these new teams navigate facing elite quarterback play. I don't think that league's had it. I think the backups at all the four schools that entered the Big Ten would start at a bunch of schools in the Big Ten right now. I think Oregon's got the deepest quarterback room in America, and all three would start at schools in the Big Ten. And I'm sure if Purdue was watching, they'd say, yeah, give me Austin Nosa. And I think if I'm a huge Hudson Card guy, but I just think that it's really talented in the league. I think the one thing that has really stood out probably XO-wise is it's just limited possessions. That is true. Like, when everybody talked about the physicality of the line of scrimmage, I don't think it was necessarily that. I just think the style of play, you're getting, you know, I've called a bunch of games where each team has one possession in the first quarter.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're just limited there. So I think as a play caller, I don't know the numbers, but I would bet more teams are going for it on fourth down. You're just trying to get that extra possession because you don't have it. And I think that does dictate terms as a play caller. And then I'll say the run game, that's been better than it was in the Pac-12. I thought the Pac-12 was always undervalued in this run scheme. When you look at Caleb Johnson, you look what Illinois did prior to their starting running back getting hurt. You look at Darius Taylor, you look at Kyle Manung guy, like the backfield and the O-line, how they lean on people, that's been a thing. And I think that's why we're seeing limited possessions.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yogi Roth is our guest. He does it all. Elite 11, Y Option Podcast for John Matera is going to be on the next episode of Big Ten Network. His book, Five Star Quarterback, you can follow him on Twitter, at Yogi Roth. He's going to be on the call for Nebraska, UCLA this weekend. I think for all of us who are fans of Pac-12 schools, whether they left or not, you always got a little bit of Pac-12 in your blood, and I know you're that way, and I know you've been watching the Cougs and the Beavs this year. I'm curious to ask you about Oregon State. You know, I think their fans are kind of split. Some are, you know, this is the end, and how are we ever going to get back? Some fans are saying, God, take a chill pill. You lost half the roster and the coaching staff. What'd you expect this year? 4-4, really tough game for them last weekend down in the Bay Area against Cal. I'm just curious what Yogi's made from afar watching Oregon State and their start this season.
Well, I think you look at both of those teams, and the biggest difference, you know, regardless of, like, specific personnel, is that for Washington State, the majority of the players stayed. They lost Cam Ward, but John Matera was playing quarterback last year in real games. That gets lost, I think, a lot around the country. You know, for Oregon State, they not only lost their quarterback, but they lost so many key players. As I'm calling games in the Big Ten, I'm seeing players from Oregon State, and not just at Michigan State. I'm watching my beloved Pitt Panthers, and I'm seeing a ton of them making plays. Who was Oregon State's roster year on other teams? So I think that's a fact. And really, where has that shown up? It's shown up in this latest stretch of losing games. They just don't have the competitive depth behind the guys that were banged up. I mean, they start off 4-1, and you're feeling really good about this team. And they were already hit by injuries. And now it just continued to happen, especially on the defensive front. And then the secondary, you got to fit the run game, et cetera. And that's, to me, where they struggled. But make no mistake, they drilled Purdue. They beat a 5-3 Colorado State, beat a San Diego State that, you know, has lost what I think their margin of losses is even smaller than Cal's and USC.
Yeah.
Pac-12 schools. They're not being a call away, you know, challenging call, I would say, from the officials away from knocking off UNLV. And again, they were rated in the portal. So I look forward to them getting healthy, obviously, a bye week. And I think that game on the 23rd against Washington State, I hope they're at their best because they're capable in the new look Pac-12 of making a bunch of noise. I believe the Washington State is in a position, if they can win out, which I think they will, if they can win out to snag that 11 seed. By no fault of their own is the schedule, right? They've just done what the schedule has presented in front of them. I think it's been pretty impressive. They got a difference maker at quarterback. I think they finally have the offensive line. They can handle it when you comp them to other teams they might play in the CFP. And I think the number one thing for both of these teams, and this is, I'd imagine they're all over recruiting, is that they're a power four school. They're a power four team. They've been knocking off big programs forever. And I think that's how they have to continue to recruit. And then ultimately in a year and a half from now, they're basically going to get an automatic berth into a 12 team or maybe into a 14 team playoff by then. And I think it's going to bode well. So it's been hard. They got to figure out the QB thing. But most importantly, they got to get healthy.
Yeah.
Very quickly, we'll let you go because we know you're getting ready to take off there. What did you learn about John Matera and talking to him on your podcast? I think if they would have beaten Boise, he'd be more in a Heisman conversation. I think that loss kind of hurt in that regard. But he's had a good year. He's been great with his legs. What did you learn about John Matera?
Well, I love the fact that he knows he was the 119th ranked quarterback coming out of high school, but could care less. You know, and I think that's a reflection of the team. I think a year ago, they were all about starting fast and proving everybody wrong. And I think Jake Dicker has flipped that switch of let's finish strong, right? Look at San Jose State, look at San Diego State, look at some of these tight games late. They've done that. And let's just, you know, prove it to ourselves. What was the quote in the UW Apple Cup game? It was, folks wasn't on hating them, but loving ourselves and each other. I just think there's something to that, man. I'm not going to lie to you. Like, I think that's a big deal. I think it's easy to be chip on the shoulder, screw everybody, we got hosed. And they haven't been that. And John is the same way. I was really cool to talk to him because I think he is a premier player. And I think that he really prides himself on being a Coug. Right? He's a guy that if you're outside looking in, you're thinking, okay, he's a prime candidate. Where's he going to land next year? Right? In free agency. I don't think he's going to land anywhere. I think he's going to stay right there and continue to develop and do something at Washington State that they probably couldn't have done in the Pac-12. Right? If you think about a CFP break. It just would have been a harder challenge for them schedule-wise. And I'll say this, from watching all those Pac-12 teams, and you're right, my heart is always with them. I think they may be the number two team in the Pac-12 right now. You know, I really do. I mean, look at it, and you're like, all right, who would be second in the league? You start copying it, and you're like, Washington is playing second best football among those teams. I mean, Oregon is a separator, but other than that, it's been a rebuild for a lot of the premier teams. And Washington State got over 100 starts on the O-line. The D-line is playing really good football. Secondary is finally healthy. I mean, remember, they had three of their best guys are out in the Boise State game. They only allowed three runs of 10 yards or more to Ashton Jenty. Now, granted, all three were touchdowns. But I just think that they're better than people give them a lot of credit for. And I keep calling them this. I'm sorry, I'm stepping out of my list here. That's a noise change. But I'm calling them America team.
Yeah.
I think outside of the team that you love, for me, it's Pitt, right? After that, you're rooting for these guys. If you've ever competed in anything in your life, you're rooting for these guys. And I think a lot of people are. And I hope they can make some noise here and make it challenging on the committee.
Yeah. Yeah, learn more about John Matera in the next episode of the Y Option Podcast. Yogi Roth of the Big Ten Network. He's going to be on the call of Nebraska, UCLA, a big one. Huskers trying to get bowl eligible for the first time in a long time. 12:30 on the Big Ten, Big Ten Network. And you can follow him on Twitter at Yogi Roth. Yogi, we always enjoy the time, man. Have a great flight. Have a great call. And hopefully we can do this again soon.
I love to. You guys always make me smile. I appreciate that.
There you go. Yogi Roth. Good stuff from him. I mean, it's really not that crazy of a thought. Now, this is
second in the conferences.
You're playing a butterfly effect of like if the conference had stuck together, what did Oregon State bring back? And is their coach still here and quarterback? And how does that team look? So if you do that, but if you're just going off of what we've seen this year.
Sure.
Arizona's been a massive disappointment.
Boy.
Washington's barely above 500.
Yeah.
Or five. What is Washington on the year? Yeah. 4-4. USC's 4-4. Mm-hmm. Utah is a dumpster fire. Arizona State's a fun little story, but Colorado maybe could have been it.
I mean, look, we can't play this game because if we're being honest here, they play the best team they've played so far is Boise State,
and they lost.
And
to
Boise State destroyed them.
They did
on the on.
But
the
they
line.
Did beat Washington.
They did. Short pitch option play, not the good idea there. But
not a good play.
Look, they would be good. I just second best if the conference existed. Ifs and buts.
Definitely ifs and buts. It would have been a fascinating year in the Pac-12.
USC isn't traveling to New Jersey, or they're not traveling to.
Well, they went 7-5 without traveling last year, and they had Caleb Williams at quarterback. Okay.
But my point is like. I don't know how truly good Washington State is based on their schedule. They also just struggled against San Diego State.
They did. They did this weekend. You're not wrong. They do have a chance to go 11-1, though. Yogi Roth, great stuff from him talking a little college football. Let's wrap it up on a Halloween Thursday. We'll do it next on The Fam. You pissed off Cougar fan. Cougar fans chiming in. 7-1, 7-1. Pop-Tart. Just stick that 7-1 in your toaster. Eat it.
Okay.
Good local news yesterday. I know where our antennas are up for political season.
Oh, God, can you shut up with the politics?
Portland City Council yesterday unanimously approved a 5-0 vote resolution to support the Portland Diamond Project in an effort to bring Major League Baseball to Portland.
I saw this. This is good news. This is great news. This
Look
is
at
great
that.
News.
Are we all on the same page? Ted Wheeler said, now's the time to dream big.
Now is the time to dream big. We should be dreaming big, even though we have local media members that like to call these people imposters and scam artists. I will be on the side of I want the baseball team
Give
here.
Give me the baseball.
And if the city is all in, that makes me a little happier. Now, what is the expectation we get it? Who knows? I will cite this every time. David Sampson, a former president of the Florida Marlins, was on the show when you were out. And I said, hey, it feels like Utah's passed us in a big way. Because Utah took Dale Murphy. They had all the land. They're all in on sports in Utah. And he goes, yeah. And could change tomorrow. He's like, "This, there is nothing given right now."
Yeah.
So while it went down a little bit for us, you know, the city's on board. They've got a site. We got a shot here.
You're telling me there's a chance.
We know they want to be on the West Coast. And it's not that Utah couldn't appease that kind of
They're close.
Desire, but it would make sense to want a Portland-Seattle rivalry and not a Salt Lake-Seattle situation. So
yeah, who would Salt Lake's rival even be?
Who cares?
Vegas when they get the team?
Christianity?
Yeah, good local news.
No, but seriously, great news that locally...
There seems to be a push of like, we need this. Let's try and have something positive happen.
Now, will Portland? I mean,
probably. Texans and Jets tonight on Thursday Night Football. Catch the fever.
Oh, I can't wait.
The fever. Anytime you get a chance to watch those 2-6 Jets in primetime, you got to take advantage of it. Give me more Jets football in my life.
When they lose this game, is this the game where Aaron Rodgers suddenly tweaks something and maybe
no? They just got to stop listening to the media. They'll stop listening to the media after this loss, and then they'll be fine after this.
Do you think he voluntarily goes out looking this bad, or does he come up with a fake injury?
Ah, my quad's hurt. Can't play the rest of the year. Sorry, guys.
I had this vaccine 5 years ago. It's just kicking in.
Funky line. I'm going to take the bait. I'm not spreading the line on the game. Not going to do that. But I will. I mean, I just out of pride and principle, I'm going to gamble on the Texans tonight.
Oh, yeah. Good for you.
I'm going to. I'm going to gamble. I'm going to do it. I'm not going to spring the line. Not doing that. But I will gamble on the Texans getting points.
That O-line, though, has got to.
It's got issues.
Because
I get it.
There's huge potential for Stroud to get injured.
Stroud is taking a lot of hits. And they just lost Steph Diggs.
They need to figure out how to run the ball a little bit more consistently.
Yeah, the Jets
slow down that pass rush.
You're not wrong. I get it. The Jets very well could win this game. They suck.
I'm betting against them. But I worry more about Stroud running for his life and getting taken down and twisting an ankle.
Happy Halloween. Be safe.
Yes.
Keep the razor blades when you find them in the candy. Almond joys are underrated, and tomorrow is Christmas. What a day.
Mariah Carey makes her debut tomorrow on the show.
Are we doing that?
Damn right we're doing it. It's Christmas time, baby. Okay.
It's pumpkin spice latte season
November
in August,
1st. So moving on. That'll do it for us, folks. Happy Halloween, everybody. Have fun tonight. Hopefully it doesn't rain too much. Enjoy the crappy football if you're sitting at home and watching. Thanks for being a part of our Thursday. The Pop-Tart says goodbye. We will talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Colin is next. You're listening to 1080 The Fan.